some reason we're not advancing here. I don't know why not. That asks kids? Oh. Yeah, I heard that. Death Valley. Okay, what's going on here? Yeah. I don't know what's going on. What was going on there? That's weird. Okay, we got it working. Yeah, the what national park was derived from the Bible? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, how are you doing? She brought her Bible tonight. All right. Yeah, let me slip through here so we can get ready. We're live. All right. Vacation Bible School. Yes, Thursday night. One more night, tomorrow night, Friday night, we're going to have our cookout, so everybody's invited to come Friday night. We're going to have some hot dogs, we're going to have some hamburgers, and also some steaks. Well, that's tube steaks, actually. Tube steaks. Yeah. Yes, good to see all of you tonight. We have some more coming in. Let's go ahead and get started, and of course, we want to get started with the flag salute. So let's go ahead and stand up, stand to our feet, and we're going to start first of all with the American flag. Ready? Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then, of course, also the Christian flag. And ready, attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And then as Vacation Bible School, the Bible stands. We have our Bible. Let's go ahead and salute the Bible. If you have a Bible in your hand, place your hand on your Bible or look at this one right here and pledge to the Bible. Ready? Attention. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Very good. You may be seated. Want to sing the songs tonight for our theme? Of course, the first one is VBS Sure Is Fun. I had you sit down. I guess we're going to have to. We got to stand up for this song. We got to stand up. I'm sorry. Let's stand up. Get your exercise up and down. Here we go. VBS sure is fun. Bring more kids in one by one. Fill the church up. Way up. Fill it to the door. Then go out and get some more. You bring one. I'll bring two. Just as Jesus wants us to fill the church up, way up, fill it to the door, then go out and get some more. Very good. Of course, we get points for visitors, right? Which brings in the bucks so that we can buy the things we want on Friday night. Don't forget about the bucks. And the verses, keep working on the memory verses. There's seven of them, two. One for every day, the five, and then the two is the theme verse. So you work on each verse, and you can say them. And I haven't asked Pastor Sakaros, but in our format, you can actually say each verse and get more points for them in our format. That because I want you to remember it long-term memory instead of short-term memory. So if you've already said John 3:16 yesterday, you can say it again today and get another buck. Okay, so keep saying your verses over and over again, okay? Memorize them, work on them. And then, of course, we want to sing this song here. We're glad to be here. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. We get to learn that Jesus loves us and make new friends who come to join us. We'll hear exciting stories and play some games at Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. We're glad to be here at Vacation Bible School. This is the best place we could be. This is the best place we could be. Let's go. All right. Yes. Okay. And then this one here, the Bible Stand. How many of you, this is the first time this week you've heard this song? Some of you? All right, Susan. Oh, she's playing games with me. You've heard it before. Okay, good. All right, the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a rock undoubted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of man. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. When the earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Very good. And then our favorite one here, you got to have a Bible in your hand, right? Here we go. What's that? Hey, sure, you could play it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you could have played the first one, too. Did you know the first one, this old man? Yep, it was Mrs. Sicaros which was playing that one, weren't they? But yes, you could. Thank you. All right. Covers up my voice that way. It is a well of pure water and dry and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets dark, I can't see. And I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost us to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd gone to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many, believers are few, but one thing I found to be true. You find when you read it that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. Blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. It's solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Amen. Very good. All right, you may be seated. This week we have a theme verse. Theme verse is found in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But also 2 Peter 1:21. Both of them share with us the fact that God's word is the inspired, written word of God. That is not just some man's feeble attempt at writing his own details, but instead it's eyewitnesses of those who actually saw and heard God's plan. So 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says all scripture, and you can memorize these verses and get points, right? Or bucks, a dollar for each one. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or throughly been furnished unto all good works. You know, some King James versions that you look at has the word throughly. Others have thoroughly. So it's interesting because different King James versions have two different words there. And it basically means the same thing, thoroughly or throughly. And in any case, it's very powerful. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not to in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, these holy men being prompted by the Holy Spirit, kind of like wind in a sailboat, that wind, the Holy Spirit, moved them along to pen these words for us. This is God's written word. And I've often made comments that if man wrote it, there wouldn't be things in it like, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If man wrote it, they would say, oh, man is perfect. Everything's going to be okay. Man is getting better and better and better every day. But that's not what God's word says. God's word says that we are sinful, that we're lost, and we're headed for hell. If man would have written it, it wouldn't say that. I also like to submit that if man wrote it, the story of David's sin with Bathsheba would not be there. Because David would have said, I think I'll leave this part out. But no, the Holy Spirit led and prompted them to put that in there to help us to realize that, yes, man is sinful, but that yet God is a forgiving God. If we submit to him, repenting of our sins, if we repent of our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Oh, what a powerful God. And then Monday's verse is John 3:16. And can someone tell me what was the story that Raleigh helped us and heard on Monday? Anybody remember? It was the story of Jonah. Yes. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then Tuesday, we got to hear from Rodney, and he told us the story of Noah. Yes, Noah, who is faithful, who listened to God. And look at this one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I am following the word of God and using his word to pattern my life after, I'm not going to be stumbling over things we can't see because it's going to be evident. We're going to see it. It's something we can step over, and we're not going to be stumbling in the dark. This world is dark, perverse, and lost in sin. They're running. They can't see where they're going, and they just stumble. You know, wouldn't that be awful? To be out there in the middle of the desert, and it's dark out there, and you're trying to run, you're trying to go, but you're just stumbling everywhere. That's the way it would be like. But if we choose to trust him, his word is a lamp to my feet. So we need to read it, ponder it, be in the word of God every day to grow spiritually. And then day three, that was yesterday, right? And who was it that came out? I think it was Randy, right? And he told the story of
Gideon.
Very good. The Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. So here we have, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a good verse to remember. He that believeth on the Son. Because only through Christ can we have eternal life. But he that believeth not is going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And then, of course, day four is Psalm 119, verse 11. This one says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we want to hide God's word in our heart, to memorize it, to work on the verses that we're working on. Memorize them, and you get a buck for every one that you quote. And remember, if you said John 3:16 yesterday or any other verses yesterday, you can say them all over again today. Keep working on them, and you can get another buck. How's that sound? So keep working on them. Don't slack off, but yet you can say, hey, I want to keep working on these verses so that I could get a buck for the store, okay? There we go. So today, we have another story from a special friend. In fact, tonight, we're going to meet for the first time my friend Rosie. Rosie's going to come and help share with you this important story from the Word of God. That God's Word is true. That we can trust in Him. You listen. We'll see what Rosie has to say. Rosie, what did you say? Rosie?
Oh, wait a second. No, I'm not ready.
You're not? What do you mean you're not ready?
I got to comb my hair.
Oh, okay. Well, wait. How long is this going to take?
Half hour.
No, we can't do that.
Oh, no, I can't get out. No, not yet. I'm not ready. Oh, no, don't do that. He doesn't listen. Oh, come on. Hey, wait a second. Oh, wait. I'm not done. You don't listen very well.
I know, Rosie, but you have to come out because everybody wants to see you.
Oh, hello there. My name is Rosie, and I'm a beautiful girl. It's good to see you. Look at my hair. I couldn't comb it. It's a mess.
Oh, no, but Rosie, you look fine.
I put on makeup. I ironed my dress. I even put fingernail polish on my toes. But, oh, you can't see it. Oh, don't wait.
Rosie?
Yeah?
Do you know what's more important than being beautiful on the outside?
Oh, let me think. Nothing. Oh.
But Rosie, there is something more important than being beautiful on the outside.
And what's that?
Being beautiful on the inside.
Are you crazy? I can't put fingernail polish on the inside.
Well, I know you can't, but I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord.
I don't understand.
Well, Rosie, let me share with you a story.
Yeah.
In fact, this story begins during the days of the judges.
Samson! He's strong. He's handsome. He's a handsome dude. Anybody that strong, I like him.
Yeah, I'm sure, but I don't want to talk about Samson.
I do. He carried a large gate on top of a hill. And not only that, but he killed 30 men with their hands.
I see. But in any case, I want to talk about somebody else.
And who's that?
Well, I want to talk about Elimelech and Naomi.
Who are they?
Well, Elimelech and Naomi lived in Bethlehem of Judea.
Yeah.
But because of drought and because of difficulties, they decided to leave Bethlehem of Judea, which meant house of bread.
Yeah, I like bread.
Yeah. But not only that, they decided to leave and go to the land of Moab.
How come?
Well, because of the drought. They didn't want to listen to what God had to say and do exactly what God asked them to do. So the Bible shares with us that they left and went to the land of Moab. But while they were there...
Yeah, didn't that Samson?
No, they didn't meet Samson. While they were there, the Bible shares with us that Elimelech died. Yeah, but those remaining was Naomi and their two boys. Yeah, the names of the boys was Milion and Chilion.
What does that mean?
Well, Milion and Chilion basically meant sickly.
They're going to die too.
Well, in any case, yeah, it took some time, but both of them died as well after they got married.
Yeah.
They married. In fact, one of them was Ruth and Orpah.
Yeah.
And so the decision was, are we going to listen to God? Are we going to do what God says? Or are we going to remain in the land of Moab?
What did they do?
Well, Naomi heard that the land was getting better, that the crops were beginning to grow. And as they began to grow and the word came along that God now was blessing Israel, Naomi decided to go back home.
Yeah.
And Ruth and Orpah had the decision. Are we going to stay home and worship the gods that we grew up with? Or are we going to serve the true and living God?
What did they decide?
Well, Orpah decided to go back home.
To her gods?
Yep, to her gods. But Ruth, she said, no, I'm going to serve the true and living God. I'm going to serve the God that's alive. Somewhere or another, Ruth heard, either from her husband or maybe Elimelech, that Israel knew the true and living God.
They sure do.
So Ruth decided, I'm going to go with Naomi to Bethlehem of Judea.
The house of bread.
That's right, Rosie. So they decided to go back. And as they were going, the Bible shares with us that Ruth made it very clear that her God was going to be the God of Israel.
Wow, that's exciting.
It certainly is. And that's what it means to be beautiful on the inside.
Yeah.
She was faithful. She did exactly what God commanded her to do. She loved Naomi. And she did everything to help her. But as they were there, Ruth met this most wonderful man.
Samson!
No. She met Boaz.
Boaz! Do you know who that is?
I certainly do.
That's the great-great-grandfather of David.
That's right. And because Ruth was faithful and did what God asked her to do, she was the one to be in the line of our Savior.
Wow. And that's what it means to be beautiful on the inside.
That's right, Rosie.
Hey, I want to be beautiful on the inside, too. You know, I'm beautiful on the outside. But I also want to be beautiful on the inside. How about you? Hey, this is exciting. I need to go comb my hair.
But Rosie, things are going on.
Yeah.
There's games.
So I don't want to break a fingernail.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And get my dress all dirty either. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Thanks for coming. Hey, that's exciting. I want to be beautiful on the inside too. Just like I'm beautiful on the outside. Hey, we'll see you guys later, okay? Bye. Hey, love to lose you.
That's Rosie and the story of Ruth, one who is faithful. First of all, as we look at this story of Ruth, we want to first of all look at the famine in the land. You know, it was terrible. Israel was living in sin. They weren't where God wanted them to be. And what's very interesting is that they left Bethlehem of Judea, the house of bread, and they went to the land of Moab. Oh, they chose, hey, you know, we're not going to stay here where God's disciplining us. We're not going to obey him. We're going to leave. You know, obedience is so important. They weren't obeying God like they should have. And because Israel wasn't obeying God, God couldn't bless them. They were being disobedient. And you know, sometimes we're disobedient to God's word too. Sometimes we're disobedient to mom and dad. Sometimes we're disobedient to the law around us or to pastors. Disobedience. Well, let me share with you an illustration. I have up here, see, where is it? Whoop, not that one. I have up here a block of wood on the end of a rope. Hey, look at that. Kind of goes up and down like that. Look at that. There we go. And of course, this block of wood is cut in the shape of a square, right? No, it's a heart. Oh, you're right. Molly, pretty good. Well, this heart kind of reminds us of of our disobedience. And the fact that sometimes we don't obey God like we should. You know, we look at this rope here, and we look at that little heart, and we think, you know, obedience, that's not important, is it? But it certainly is. So, for instance, now heart, I want you to stop in the middle. Don't go down and hit my thumb, okay? Are you ready? Here we go, and, ouch! That hurt. Let's try this again. Now heart, I want you to stop in the middle. Don't go down and hit my thumb, okay? I want you to listen. You know, sometimes we listen just like this brick of wood or this block of wood. We don't listen like we should. Now, heart, now, come on, I'm telling you, don't hit my thumb. Are you ready? Here we go, and ouch! Molly, would you kiss my thumb for me? No. Oh, I can't get good help nowadays. But you know, if this heart were to get his heart right with God, and he were to say, hey, you know, I want to be obedient to the word of God. I want to do what God tells me to do. I don't want to be disobedient. Wonderful things could happen. Now, heart, I want you to stop just as quickly as you can. Don't go down and hit my thumb, okay? You ready? Here we go. And, oh, very good. Okay, go ahead and slide down to about the middle. Oh, good job. Now, go ahead. Slide down just a little bit more. All right. Okay, heart, go ahead and go to the bottom. Very good. And, you know, we need to do the same. We need to learn to obey, to respond to the word of God. Most importantly is this. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Don't disobey God. Don't disobey his word. Those in Israel were disobeying God. And because of it, God was disciplining them. God was trying to get a hold of their attention, trying to work in their hearts. But Israel chose to disobey God. And so God sent a famine into the land where finally Elimelech, Naomi, Milion, and Chilion ran from the Lord and went to the land of Moab. God had a plan. He had a purpose. And everything worked out for his glory. But not only do we want to look, first of all, at point number one, the famine in the land, but secondly, flight. Flight from the land. You know, as they ran from the Lord and didn't do what God wanted them to do, terrible things happened, such as there was death in the family, Elimelech, and also the two boys, Milion and Chilion, all as a result of sin, not being where God wanted them to be. They ran from the Lord. They ran from the land in which God promised them food, Bethlehem of Judea, the house of bread. But instead, they saw the results of sin. And what happens because of sin? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, the Bible says that there's death all around us. Let me share with you an illustration. I have up here another, well, first of all, I got this silk here. Put it here in my pocket. And then I also have a rope. Oh boy, do I like ropes. And then I also have here another block of wood with a hole through the center cut out in the shape of a heart. Very good, Molly. Okay, I need some help though. Let's see here. Who can I get? Yeah, you can come on up here. And how about a young lady? Who would like to, would you be willing to come on up here? No, you. Yeah. Yeah. There she goes. Very good. So I'll have you hold on to this end, okay? And you come on over here and land on, hold on to that end. There we go. Now I have up here this heart. And the Bible shares with us that all because of sin, we're slaves to our sin. We're bound by our sin. So I'm going to go ahead and take this rope here and let's stick it on this end, okay? Go ahead and grab onto it. Don't let go, okay? Hold on to it. Get a little bit tighter and raise it up a little bit. There you go. Get it tight. Very good. All right. Well, that heart there isn't going anywhere, is it? It's there in the center, not going anywhere. But we're going to make sure it doesn't go anywhere because I'm going to go ahead and bind it on here like this. And I'm going to take this end of the rope, and I'm going to stick it right through here, okay? Go ahead and let go and hold on to that end. There you go. Now, that heart is not going anywhere. It's bound on there. We're making sure it doesn't go anywhere. And as a picture of our sin, I have some blocks of wood. Can you take a step forward this way? There you go. Hold on to it good and tight. And I've got some blocks of wood here that we're going to label specific sin. You see, we're all bound by our sin. Because of our sin, we cannot spend eternity in heaven. And to prove that we're sinners, the Bible says that we sin. There's things that we do. And so I have three or four blocks of wood here, all representing sin. And let's go ahead and label them. How many of you know what sin is? Do we all know what sin is? All right, very good. So help me out here. Who would like to label this block of wood right here? A specific sin. Yes. What's that? Label these a specific sin. We'll come back to you, okay? Susan? Murder. Does everybody agree murder's sin? Is it? Yeah, murder's sin, isn't it? So we're going to go ahead and stick this one right here. Go ahead and grab onto it. Hold onto it good and tight. So first of all, we have murder. So you got it now, Molly? We want a specific sin? Yep, okay. Anybody else? Yes, Abed. Idolatry. Yep, murder. And did you know that abortion is murder? It is. And then we have adultery. Yes, let's go ahead and stick this one here. Oops, come on. There we go. Good job. All right, so we got murder, idolatry. How about this one? Yes, Molly? Lying. You're right. Lying is a sin, isn't it? So we'll go ahead and stick him on this side. Very good. And how about this one? Right there in the back. Stealing? Yes, stealing is a sin too, isn't it? Everybody agreed? Did I hear him right? Stealing. Here we go. Let's go ahead and stick it on here. There we go. All right. So here we have all kinds of sin, don't we? Idolatry and lying and murder. All evidence of the fact that we're sinners. But you know, when we stand before God, all of this is just evidence that we're sinners. Some people, they pray and ask God to forgive them of a specific sin, but they don't ask him to forgive them of their sinful nature. See, all of this is just evidence that we're sinners. You see, if we realize that, yep, I am a sinner, and that God hates my sin, and that we, by faith, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in my place that I might have eternal life, not repenting of specific sins like adultery, but repenting of our sinful attitude toward God, our sinful nature, that we're born in sin, that if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to spend eternity in hell, but Christ, you died for me. And I accept you as my personal Savior. You know what Jesus Christ will do? He will set me free. The only question is what have we done with Christ? Have we trusted in him? Have we by faith accepted him as our Savior that we might spend eternity in heaven? Thank you so much. You two did a wonderful job. Give them a hand. Thank you so much. All right. So first of all, famine in the land, flight from the Lord, and then last of all, faithfulness from the heart. You know, Ruth had a choice. Was she going to follow the Lord, or is she going to go back to her God? So in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, here's Ruth's response to Naomi. She said, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And listen to this, and thy God shall be my God. She believed in the true and living God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth was faithful. She believed the word of God. She believed that it was the God of Israel in whom she could trust, in whom she could put her faith in. Ruth, a young lady who chose not the gods of this world, but the true and living God, that she might have faith in him. Ruth prospered. And you remember Ruth and Naomi when they got to Bethlehem of Judea? People came running out and they said, Naomi, welcome home. And remember what Naomi said? Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara. You remember that? That means bitterness. Think of it. Naomi came home bitter. Bitter at God. Because she felt that God dealt with her bitterly. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. But Ruth, she lost her husband too. And a father-in-law. But Ruth did not come home bitter. She came home better. Because she chose to live and serve the true and living God. And where do we learn how to live a life while pleasing and glorifying to God? We learn it from the Word of God, right? From the Bible. So let me share with you an illustration. I have up here several Bibles. Got a purple one. Could refer to royalty or especially wealthy people, rich people wear things like this. Nicodemus, we believe, was a very wealthy man, and he wore purple because of his wealth. Then we have green, the idea of growing. And then I have a red one, the idea that Christ shed his blood for our sin. And I also have a black one. It could refer to sin and the fact that God hates sin. And then I also have up here an orange one. And a blue one. And also we have a yellow one. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to pick a volunteer. Let's see here. How about, the young man in the back. Could you come on up here? Don't tell me what color your Bible is, but we're going to find out, okay? We're going to find out. And then I'm going to have Susan come up here too. Susan, come on up here. She is going to hold for us the prediction, okay? There you go, right there. So thank you. Hey, don't look. Here we go. So we're going to find out what color his Bible is, okay? So you have multiple Bibles? Okay, well, we'll multiple? Well, praise the Lord. That's really good. All right, so we're going to find out what color maybe one of them is, okay? Here we go. So we're going to spread these out. We're going to put them down on the table here so we can mix them, okay? Here's one and two and three. 4, 5, 6, and 7. They're all mixed up. So we'll take them again and mix them up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There we go. So as you look at the Bible, the Word of God, and Dana's going to help me out here because we're going to put up some verses. Remember, Dana, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. My friend there? 2 Timothy 3:16, very good. And it says, that's one of our memory verses, remember? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The second verse here that we find out about the Bible, that God's word is true, Psalm 119, verse 105. Remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's mix these up again. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. There we go. Let's look at the next verse, Isaiah 40, verse 8. It says this. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We can stand upon the word of God. It's true. We need to read it, right? We need to be in the word of God. And then how about Hebrews 4:12? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Let's mess these up again. There's 1, 2, 3. As Dana puts up Matthew 24. There's 4, 5, 6, 7. There we go. And Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Do you think these are mixed up enough, or should we mix them again? Are they mixed up enough? Okay, let's find out. Spell out the word Bible, and we're going to find out what color his Bible is. Are you ready? B. Say them out loud. B. Say it with me. B. I. B. L. E. His Bible is red. No, it's not. Did you know everybody's Bible should be red? Did you know that? Let's look at the prediction. Go ahead and open it up, Susan. Prediction. Turn it around. You will select the red Bible. May we all have read our Bible. Everybody's Bible should be read. Is that an amen? Amen. Yes, God's word is true. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Everybody's Bible should be read. Thank you so much. You did a good job. You may be seated. All right. Thank you, Susan. So famine in the land, flight from the Lord, and last of all, fullness or faithfulness from the heart. We should be faithful. Just as Ruth was faithful, faithful to the things of God, living a life pleasing and glorifying to him. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God today. That your word is true, that we can believe it, that we can trust it, that we should read it every single day. Even though sometimes we miss a day, we shouldn't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to do our best. Help us to learn to love your word, because every Bible should be read. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. At this time, Brother Tuck just walked through the door here. At this time, who is in charge of the buckets? Here we go.